I have to tell you, Hope Church, it's great to share God's word with you today and in person. I miss you all so much, and I can't wait till we can come together again in the building. I'm so thankful that we've been sharing the seven statements from the cross. And basically in Jesus' life, he had one overarching goal. And it says that in John chapter 4, verse 34. Then Jesus explained, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work." That finish actually is our beginning. Because he died, we can now live, not only here on earth, but with Jesus for eternity. Today we come to the sixth word from the cross, and really the last three words he says right in a row. "I'm thirsty, it is finished, and into your hands I commit my spirit." That last one will be just a little bit of what we share next week together. So in John chapter 19, the scene on the cross is this. Knowing that all was now complete, and so the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I'm thirsty." And we talked about that last week. And after Jesus was given a drink, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. That word "finished" is just simply done. Finished, the work he was sent to do is done. I mean, Jesus wasn't crying out as a defeated martyr. In fact, he might have asked for a drink that he would be able to speak clearly, and he probably shouted out, "It is finished. It's done." Jesus said it, but nobody understood it. The Romans, the passerbyers, the onlookers, even the believers didn't know what was going on. I mean, sometimes I'll say it's finished or I'll think it's done. Yesterday we ate burritos for lunch. It was finished. Done. I ate the whole thing. I'm not sure why I told you that. But when you think about it being done, my burrito, that's not like when Jesus says it is done. When he says it's done, it's a totally new beginning. Now, I know the Romans were probably thinking, or the onlookers, finally, we get rid of this guy who's been causing us so much trouble. This revolutionary is done. I'm sure Pilate thought, you know, my political headache is now over with Jesus gone. The religious leaders were thinking, my competition, he was way more popular than we are. Well, now my competition is eliminated. Even the disciples, what do you think they were thinking? Yeah, our dreams of having the kingdom of God, it's over. I know the devil misunderstood this. Satan thought, I've won. I've killed the Son of God. Finally, he's finished. And you know this, Jesus didn't say, I am finished. He rose 3 days later. He said, it is finished. It is finished. These could be some of the most important words that you can ever remember. What is finished? Well, it's not just the suffering, the humiliation, the pain. It's so much more. Remember from last week? Here's what's finished. The promise. The prophecies, they all have been fulfilled. Jesus was not only done, he was dependable. Last week I talked to you about several thousand years before, all through the Old Testament, the Bible proclaims a Savior is coming. 380 predictions, and maybe even more, predictions and prophecies about the Savior. Jesus fulfilled every one of them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it says this, "For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ are amen," which basically means yes, he ascends to God for his glory. I'm so thankful that Jesus fulfilled the promise that he was coming. Here's another thing that happened when Jesus said, "Hey, it's done." He satisfied the requirement of God. There are spiritual laws, there are moral laws, there are relational laws. God is a God of justice. We're free to do pretty much what we want to do. And God, most of the time, allows that. But we're not free from the consequences, right? Every kick has a kickback. There will come a payoff to the things we sow. And justice demands that a lawbreaker pays the penalty. Listen to what is written in the book of Romans related to this very thing. "For the sin of one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's sin brings condemnation to everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings right relationship with God and new life to everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because another person obeyed God, many will be made righteous." So God is a just God, and righteousness is not something that was achieved through Adam. Because of Adam's sin entered the world, and we live in a fallen world, but because God is not only a righteous God, he's a God of love, he allowed his son to finish the payment for you and me on the cross. What does that mean for us? It means this. He paid the debt that you owe to God. He paid the debt. It's done, the debt that I owe to God. And let's talk about this a minute. Many times you've been ungrateful. You haven't been thankful. You've been rebellious. I've been rebellious. We've done our own thing. We know that God is speaking to us and saying, "I want you to go this way," and we choose to go that way. We've done the exact opposite. All of us are in deep, deep debt to God. Every one of us. This is what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, "We were dead because of our sins, and because our sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made us alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross." Can you imagine tomorrow morning, Monday morning, you get a call from all of your credit card companies, and they say to you, "Hey, we know times are tough. We're going to erase your debt. Everything that you've charged on a credit card is now paid." If that happened to me, I know what I'd be thinking. Could you wait one more day? Because there are a few things, if I knew this, I would like to go buy. That's just me. Imagine that. And then imagine you hang up the phone and you're in such disbelief that your mortgage company calls. And they say, "Hey, we know things are tough, and we're going to start brand new today, and we're going to pay off your mortgage. It's done. You do no longer, you don't have any more debt. It is paid for. Anybody want that? I can see you raising your hand. Of course you do. Well, understand, this is exactly what Christ did for you and me. When he was nailed on the cross, when he said, "It is finished," he wasn't finished. It's the start of a brand new life for you and me. The debt has been paid. Justice has been served. He paid for your debt. And now we can find strength physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. We can be in right relationship with God Almighty. He did that for you. I think this is a great verse in Colossians chapter 1. Verses 13 and 14, it says this: "For he," meaning Jesus, "has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins." Hey, what sins did Christ forgive? Every one of them. And you know what's going to happen? Even though we do our best here on earth, I believe that we'll sin less when we know Jesus, but we'll never be sinless. He not only forgave the sins that you did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, he forgave the sins that you did yesterday and even the sins you're going to commit today. And if we continue to serve him, even though we love him, we're still going to sin. Those sins are forgiven as well. That's what Jesus did. That's what done means. It means it's done and he and we win. It's done, he won. And we win as well. They didn't see this on the cross. From a human standpoint, when Jesus was bleeding out on the cross and suffering, it looked like Satan won. And sometimes in our world, it looks like Satan is winning. But God has such a better and bigger perspective. When Jesus died on the cross, Satan thought, "Oh man, I won. It's finished." What he should have been saying, Satan should have said, "Oh no, I am finished. You can't," he had the audacity to think he could fight God and win. You can't fight God and win. When Jesus died on the cross, he destroyed the power of sin and death. He broke the back of what Satan was trying to do. Satan thought that Jesus was done. And 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead and he said, "I'm back." Satan is finished. I know it looks like it's hard, and sometimes it looks like he is winning, and there's so much injustice in this world and so many things that for any person who would say, "I don't understand." I know that. And you know that. Satan is pretty much alive right now, but he's on borrowed time. And if you have Jesus Christ in your life, Satan doesn't have power over you unless you allow him to have power. When we choose to enter into temptations, and when we choose to worry, and we choose to resent, and we have so much guilt and depression, Satan can use those things. And they can even become a foothold in our life. But this is what the scripture says. This is the truth. This is the reality. It says this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. Jesus, when he said it's finished, he rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. And what does that mean? When we take the power of Christ in our life, it breaks the bond that Satan has over our life. And he has no power in our lives except the power of suggestion. Does Satan still tempt us? Yes, he does. He tempts you and he tempts me. But we have the power inside. We have the power because of what Christ did on the cross to say no. Let me read that verse again and I'll finish the entire verse this time. For he rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. When Jesus said it was finished, it wasn't just to forgive us our sins, it was to give us freedom that we might live for Christ. What a gift we have been given. Another verse in Colossians, it's the second chapter and the 15th verse. It says this, in this way God took away Satan's power to accuse you of sin, and God openly displayed to the whole world Christ's triumph at the cross, where your sins are taken away. Do you know the difference between the Christian faith and every other religion in the world? It's the difference between just two words, do and done. The other religions in the world say that you have to do this in order to receive this from God. You have to do this or you will not receive this. And you know what Jesus said? I'm doing the cross so you can have your sins forgiven and freedom. It's not what we do, it's what he has already done. That's the beauty of Christianity. And it's for every single person. Christ died for all of us. It is finished. The prophecies are fulfilled. Justice has been served. The penalty of our sin has been taken care of. It's done. It is finished. Let me sum up what we've talked about today. Jesus fulfilled the scripture over 300 times. It said he would do something and he did it. He satisfied the law and justice. He paid the debt that I owed. He took the penalty for my sins. He destroyed Satan's power to control you and to control me. And I'm sure the Father was saying, yeah, it's all true. Well done. Well done, Jesus. Well done. Friends, I know that it's been hard. It's hard for all of us. Some of us are struggling financially. Some of us are struggling emotionally. Some of us feel like we're so alone. And we're having to distance ourselves from others. But may I remind you again today that when Jesus said it's done, he didn't mean that you were done and that I am done. He meant that there is a new beginning every day for you and me to be thankful for what God has allowed his Son to do on our behalf. In just a moment, I want to pray with us. And I would like you to pray with me, and almost every fiber of your being, I would like you to include in this prayer. But I need to tell you, I love you all so much. I miss you. I can't wait until we're together again. But in the meantime, we have to stay encouraged. And one of the ways we can stay encouraged is to believe God's word, to pray God's word, and to allow his word to penetrate our lives. And by the way, you can still be connected with Hope Church. You can be connected every single Wednesday night. We had a wonderful Bible study this past week, and you can be connected on Thursday to a prayer meeting. And in 2 weeks, we're going to start connect groups online through Zoom that we can connect with one another in that way. I want you to know today that you matter and that God cares. And I want to pray for you and I want to bless you. And before I pray for you, let's pray together and thank Jesus for what he did for both of us, all of us. Jesus, thank you for all that you did. Everything I need, not only to get to heaven, but to have life here on earth, to have purpose for life, you have given us. Thank you for those three simple but so powerful words. It is finished. Thank you that it's done. Thank you that you paid our debt. Thank you that you give us the power over Satan. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us to live in a way that honors what you have done for the rest of our lives, we pray. Amen. And God, I thank you for these friends. May you bless them. May you keep them. May your face radiate on them. And may we receive your peace. God bless you, Hope Church and friends. In Jesus' precious name, amen.